Stand up. Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord. I think we're going to start having church on Tuesday night.
Hey.
Got a good feeling here. Everything's going good. Everybody's clapping their hands. A lot of you are smiling that you didn't forget it was not tomorrow. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to have each and every one of you here with us. We have Brother Chris Long, and he'll give you the long and the short of it all. And Sister Joanna, his lovely wife. So we all know Brother Chris. If you don't, you'll know him in just a few minutes. But he's originally from California. So praise God he got a revelation.
Amen.
Not too far. It was Arizona, but maybe. Oh, anyway.
That's right.
He's got a wonderful church down there in Cottonwood. And we sure appreciate him. Love him with the love of the Lord. He's a good friend of ours also. And a very good minister of the gospel. And we want to hear from him tonight. You pull on the gift, and you'll get exactly what you come here for.
Amen.
So let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as Brother Chris comes. Now remember, Friday, 5:30, memorial for Sister Frieda, and the address is back there. Then we will have, on Saturday, we'll have a dedication of the house at Brother Ebenezer and Sister Wyveen, and back there is the address. And then on Sunday, as Brother Ryan said, we'll have our annual Thanksgiving dinner, one service. Brother Mike Hantis will be with us speaking, and then we will continue on. But just have a day of fellowship. We're all thankful. We don't need a day to be thankful.
That's right.
We don't need a day. We're thankful every day. All right, so just remember these things going on, and good to have both of you here today. Good to have both of you here. So let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart as Brother Chris Long comes to speak for us.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Come on and open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you. Yes, Lord, I do. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up. Oh, yes, the shining in the light of your glory. Lord, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Lift it up, shining in the light of your glory. Your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Yes, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. 'Cause I want to see.
Amen. Is that not our heart's desire? And we can see him this evening, but here's the difference between the way we think we should be able to see him and the way we see him is if you close your eyes and look with the eyes of your soul, you'll be able to see him. God bless you. Thank you, musicians. It's a privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you. Yes, it is a Tuesday night. Forgive me for disrupting your week, but every once in a while, I guess there has to be a disruption.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. An interruption of nature, I think Brother Branham called it. But it's a pleasure, as always, to be here with you. And you're just a part, I know, of the family of God. And we're a part of the family of God. So you're just an extended family.
Amen.
All right? Or we're the extension of the family, whatever you'd like to say. But since it's Tuesday night and I realize that people have to work and they've been working and there's children that go to school, I want to get right into the Word of God, if that's okay, and we'll give it all we got for 45 minutes.
Amen.
Now, what you're going to get is a lot of nuggets. You polish them. Because I don't have time tonight to do that, but I'm going to give you as much as I can. I've been preaching at home, and like most pastors, really, we preach in series, And that series is from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation. All right? But the good thing about God is the Genesis was the beginning, but there is no end to Revelation. So if you would, if you have your Bibles and you like to turn, it's Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Familiar scripture, I just thought I'd use it to get you in your seats. And it pertains to where we're going to be going tonight. Proverbs 23, 7, just the first part of the verse. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for the reading of your word. Father, that would be sufficient right there to bring the universe into existence, Lord. One word from you, Father, is all it takes, Father. And that's the way it would work, Lord. But tonight we're here. Father, we want to settle ourselves down, Lord, and we want to put our spiritual thinking caps on, as the prophet told us, Lord, and maybe fasten that seatbelt, Lord, for a short ride. Amen. We love you and we thank you, Father, and we'll be careful to always give you all the honor and the glory and the praise because of what you've done for us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, my voice might sound a little scratchy, but you know, coming from Arizona in that real dry climate, and I don't come from the hot part of Arizona, as most of you know, we come from the cold part of Arizona. It's a small place, but it's cold, but still dry.
Yes, sir.
And whatever you got in the air around here just got my throat scratchy. I don't really care. I want to get into the Word of God. So we've got this portion of Scripture here everybody knows, and of course we would paraphrase it as the prophet did, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that right? We understand that. Now, I would like you to turn to Colossians, if you would. Let's see if I got that right. Nope. Hang on. We done Proverbs already. Okay. It's a Philippians, chapter 2. Amen?
Amen.
It's a Tuesday night. And every journey for me is a long journey. That's right, brother. Amen. Shall I tell him?
Sure.
My father's last name is Long. My mother's last name was Short.
Yep.
That's a fact.
Yep.
That's why they didn't get along. But God saw me. That's it. I do come from a broken family, and they didn't get along because they were Irish and they liked to drink. But through all that, God saw me. I'm so thankful. I'll tell you. I'm so thankful. Are you ready? Did I say Philippians 2? Verse 5, everybody knows these scriptures. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now listen, this is a proposal. Did you know that?
Right. Yeah.
He's saying, let this mind be in you. So now it is a choice. He's proposing to you to let this mind be in you. Now, how do we know if we have that mind? Well, that mind has particular characteristics. First of all, it allows you to be in the form of God, but not to think it's robbery to be equal with God.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be God. But you wouldn't think it was robbery for the Lord to come down and tell you that you came from Him and you're going to go back to Him. Because brothers and sisters, the whole world is in chaos right now. There is an identity crisis going on. Everybody is trying to identify with what they think and what they believe and who they are. I want to be identified with God. So I want this mind. And this mind has characteristics and attributes, and they are identified in verse 7, but made himself of no reputation. So right away, if you're going to let the mind of Christ be in you, you are not striving for a reputation. Oh, It seems like everybody wants to be reputed for something. I want to be reputed for nothing. Because God takes nothing and makes something out of it. Okay? So then I want this mind. And I want to let it be in me as much as you want to let it be in you. So there are some characteristic requirements. There's things you look for, things that you want to identify.
Amen.
By having the mind of Christ.
Amen.
All right?
Come on, brother.
He took upon him the form of a servant.
Yes, he
did. And knocks a lot of folks out.
Amen.
They want to be served.
Yep.
They're not interested in serving. If you're not interested in serving, you have not allowed yourself yet to receive the proposal of let this mind be in you.
Amen.
Right?
Come on, brother.
It's real simple.
Yes.
It's not complicated.
Yes, right.
All right? And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man,
yes.
He humbled himself. Oh, another requirement. Another characteristic.
Right.
You see, it's not the law of God we're talking about. It's the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And if you want to let the mind of Christ be in you, then these characteristics are going to be the basis for it.
Come on, brother. Man, come on.
Humbled himself.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Amen.
Come on.
Right.
And became obedient unto death,
mm-hmm.
even the death of the cross. Now, I read those two scriptures again. I'm going to cover as much territory as I can, but I want you to get this. If you can't, or you don't, or you won't, ponder it.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Amen.
Meditate on it.
Right.
Now, when I was ministering on a series about Abraham, which I probably touched on here the last time I was here, I began to think about Abraham and how that Abraham was different. But then the prophet of God would tell us that Abraham was just an ordinary man.
Yeah.
He was a man just like or a woman, just like you and me.
Right.
Just a guy off the street who had a job, probably didn't like it because it was work.
Right.
Brother Branham tells us he was just a common guy who would go out and, you know, pick vegetables and had his little plot and he was just eking out a living. Now, he came from a very... Think about this. He came from a very successful area. It was a very big area of wealth. So probably Abraham didn't care about the things that everybody else cared about.
Yeah, right.
You know, he had access to it, but he wasn't interested in it.
Right.
He was an oddball, as we would say.
Right.
He was a nut.
Mm-hmm.
But he was threaded right. He was threaded right. He was a nut, but he was threaded right. It wasn't metric.
Nope.
Wasn't SAE. It was the Word of God.
Amen.
That was his thread.
Amen.
Now, in this, I started to think about how God... His brothers and sisters, look. Who doesn't want to be a child of God?
Amen.
Well, there are people who don't, but... We're here because we want to be. Right? And it's easy to see that World War III is at hand. Now, I say that because you see it in the news. But has anybody ever noticed something about the news? They don't want to admit that there is a God and that this is his word. That's why they want to destroy Israel, because God's word says, Israel is my nation. I don't care what she does. I don't care how she acts. I mean, she's going to pay. But she's mine. And I want you to notice that the media does not use Armageddon. Because that would give credibility to the word of God. No, this is World War III, they say.
Amen.
We've been fighting in this battle since the day we stepped into the armor of God. If you only realize that there's a world going on around us that we can't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Now, I couldn't help but notice that Brother Wade has a printout on his desk of a triune being.
Yeah.
And I've been preaching on this for weeks. Yeah, okay. See, I gave away your secret. Okay. Well, let me set you up. So let this mind be in you, and then we see, I began to see something. So I'm not a theologian. I'm a guy that's interested in God's word. I'm interested in what God wants of us, how he would like us to carry it out. Of course, we have lots of baggage. I would like to get rid of the baggage. I want it to be a clean break. I want to go all the way. I know you do too. But I'll use myself as an example so I don't embarrass anybody. But I looked up the word mind. Now let this mind be in you. Now the mind is peculiar to its definition. Listen now. The mind is a spirit. In the dictionary, you can get the same dictionary, Merriam-Webster, whatever it is. The mind is a spirit or force used to direct, guide, or give directions to one's thoughts. Oh, as soon as I read that, Brother Wade, I'm going to tell you, it got me.
Yeah.
Because then I saw, by definition, the mind and the thoughts are separate.
Right. Amen. Right. Yeah.
The mind is the conduit for the thoughts.
Right.
And if you want the thoughts of God, you'll have to have the mind of Christ, because he won't put his thoughts in anything else. It's got to come down through that channel. Now, everybody, listen now. The access to God's thoughts are right here. If voices are traveling through this room, if pictures are traveling through this room, so are the thoughts. They're right here, right now. And we all have access to the thoughts of God, but it must be the mind of Christ. Now, you do a little studying and you're going to find out that there's a mind of God. And here I am preaching on the mind of Christ. Why? Because all that God was, he poured into Christ.
Amen.
And the reason he could do it is because Christ had the right mind.
Amen.
So we need to get our minds right.
Amen.
Now, there's a problem with that, Brother Wade, in that we seem to have two minds.
Yes. Come on.
We have our brains and we have our heart.
Amen.
Well, you say the brain, that's just a mush.
Yes. Right, brother.
Believe me, that's all it is.
Amen.
And the heart is just a muscle.
Yep.
That's what it is. But we found out there's a cavity inside the heart, real small, about the size of a pea, that's available. The prophet of God told us in his day that they found out that there's not, listen close, there's not even a blood cell. Well, what's in there? God voted for you. Satan voted against you. I'm going to tell you what's in there. Your vote. And the reason there's not a blood cell in there is so that it cannot be contaminated until you make the choice. Then it's either the blood cell of God or the blood cell of the enemy.
Yep.
Now you're on your journey. And that's what started the thoughts of God. I want to ask you a question. What is more important? Be careful before you answer. It's not a trick question. But I want it to sink in. What's more important? The blood? That is the carrier of the life? Or the life it carries? Let that soak in a little bit, huh? Because well, the blood, but it's got a purpose. The blood, in type, is like the mind. It's the conduit. It's the carrier. It's the vehicle for the life. Now we know in the Old Testament you put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel so that it could be identified that a life had been given. See, but the life, once the blood was placed on the doorpost and lintel, left. There's no life in there. I love my... I'll get an avocado. Because an avocado has a big seed, that's why I like to use them as an example. You can see that seed if I put it right there on the pulpit. We're a triune being. But listen careful, we were made in the image and after the likeness of? Then God's a triune being. Think about it. We were made in the image and the likeness of God. If we were made in the image and the likeness of God, then God must, we must look like God. But only in our triunity. Remember when God made us, man, in his image, it was not a visible, tangible flesh man. It was a spirit because God is a spirit. So it was a spirit man. Catch that? But that spirit man was triune. You say, well, no, it was invisible. See, we're trying to look with these eyes to see God. I mean, I'm going to get right into the meat of it if I can. I'll let you out here in 5 minutes. We're spending an inordinate amount of time, and it'll become a waste of time if we constantly are trying to find ourselves in God in the flesh. He is a spirit. So then it's going to take a spirit man to be able to identify with the spirit God. Not the flesh man. So now we get into predestination. Oh, you don't understand, brother. Maybe I don't, but I know who does. This body of flesh, this guy you're looking at, is not me. I'm quoting the prophet. I already know that. The people I'm looking at, it's not you. But we spend an awful lot of time on who we aren't. We take care of it, we nurture it, we clothe it, we feed it, and we should. Why? Because it is, listen close, a vehicle. Yeah, right. I know this sounds crazy. I'm not telling you to wash your car. Brother Branham spent a lot of time keeping his stuff up. Not because he was OCD. It was because he had a revelation that what God gave him required a certain responsibility. Can you imagine Adam, the man, put here, Genesis 2:7, to till the soil and tend the garden and go, get to tomorrow. Yeah, but look at the weeds. I'll get to it tomorrow. Listen, careful. Before the fall, I don't think there was any weeds. But the seed was there. The seed was there, but not the weed itself. So as long as Adam kept God's word, that weed seed would never come up. And Adam kept God's word, but he had a other half. Do you not think that God knew exactly what was going to happen? I guarantee you, if he's the God we believe he is, he knows everything. I do have something here on that, if it's okay. Brothers, I'm sorry you didn't get this. Listen. But we got a kingdom. The falling apart of the world, 12:16 of 62, Jeffersonville, Indiana. But we got a kingdom, and in this kingdom, it has eternal life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
Not membership, but eternal life.
Amen.
And it is governed by an eternal king,
Amen. An
eternal kingdom full of eternal life,
Amen.
Controlled by an eternal king to an eternal people.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
That's us.
Amen.
If you believe it's you. kingdom too.
That's right.
A kingdom is no good without participants. I don't think you could call it a king if it was the king of nothing. Listen careful. I'm not getting off my message, but I know where I'm going. So I ain't going to keep you here long. To an eternal people that were predestinated, listen careful, before the foundation of the world. Brothers and sisters, that's not the body you live in. This is a body of time. So there must be another you who is in another place at another time. Right? Now, see, predestination, that's why Brother Bram said it's a touchy word for the church, see, because he knew that we were in a body, an element, a time frame, a creature that could only, understand by the parameters and the fences and the holes in the fence. They're still trying to figure out what's in them black holes. You see, they can see them, but they can't see through them. Okay? He said, for those, to an eternal people that were predestinated before the foundation of the world, for those who he foreknew, he called. And those who he called, he justified. And those who he's justified, he has glorified. Hebrews 11, he says that's right. Now, it depends on what you're looking for. You see, brothers and sisters, a long time ago, I stopped looking for a connection between this fallen man and God. Yeah. There's a man in here who can turn on the light. There's a man in here who turns water to wine. There's a man in here who gives sight to the blind. Well, I'm looking for him. Because I ask myself, well, where is he? I believe he's in there. What's the problem? It's still in the form of a thought. It needs a conduit. It needs a vehicle. It needs the right kind of mind. That's what Jesus had that you and I are working towards, but not by works now. It's a battle. That's what we're in. We're in a battle. And it is the greatest battle ever fought, which has become the greatest battle ever thought. Notice the time we live in. Excuse me. Does anybody know what AI is? What is AI? Thank you. But in my Bible, it's a place in the book of Joshua. It's a battle. An artificial intelligence, unfortunately, is what was guiding the person who caused all the problems for Joshua. And listen, innocent people lost their lives in the battle of AI. I want you to listen careful now. I have a whole message on that, but I just want to put this in there. You just look up artificial and then intelligence, and you'll find out where the trouble is. That's all Satan's got. He does not have the intelligence of God. So, of course, anything outside of that would be artificial. You with me? Bogus. It would be an impersonation of intelligence. It would be bogus intelligence. If you read your Bible, you'll find out where AI comes in. Listen. Achan did not steal anything from AI. That's not in your Bible. He took from the previous battle of Jericho. Because if you look in your Bible, you'll find out that's where don't take nothing, and don't touch the accursed thing. So what's my point? Please don't bring anything over from the previous battle, or it will become artificial intelligence, and it will cost you your life, brothers and sisters. And we're there now. Think about it. AI, AI, AI.
Yes, we are.
To me, it's anticipating intelligence, if you ask me. That's because it doesn't seem like hardly anybody has any. You know what I'm saying? It's like, well, can't they see that's, I mean, can I give an example? Okay, so we've got this battle in Israel and Hamas. I'm not talking about the Palestinians. I'm talking about a terrorist group attacks Israel. And then people come out and say, destroy Israel because Hamas is, there's practicing genocide. Hamas is not a nation. Hamas is a group of people who have decided to try to destroy Israel. It's backwards. They're trying genocide on Israel. Israel's just protecting themselves from the people who are trying to destroy Israel. Think about it. They're trying to genocide the Palestinians. No, they're not. You and I know that. We should. It's so simple. So where is this intelligence coming from? AI. And of course, there's a price to pay. It wasn't Joshua's fault. It wasn't the warrior's fault who died in battle in Ai. It wasn't the warrior's fault who carried out God's word and went to battle. It was somebody who decided that they would disobey God's word and sneak something into the camp. Kind of sounds like a word to the church to me, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Kind of sneak in and fellowship and everything's good. Everybody, nobody knew, brother, that Achan was Achan. Yep, right. Until innocent people began to die. Joshua had a word from the Lord. He said, hold it. Hold it right there. Stop the battle. I imagine that the people they were fighting were going, hey, chickens. Joshua knew. If we're going to win another battle, if we're not going to lose another man, we got to root this thing out. We got to find out what's going on. Now, he didn't know yet, but then he was a prophet, so God began to deal with him. As a matter of fact, let me tell you about Joshua. He was a type of the Holy Spirit today. And the Holy Spirit will use his ministry to root out and tear down, destroy, and run off. Every Achan.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Amen.
I'm just giving you the Bible. I happen to believe it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Ooh, it is hot in here, isn't it? Is that me or the temperature? Okay, thank you. Full of eternal life, controlled by an eternal king, by his eternal word, to a predestinated eternal people. That is why it always was, always will be, never had a beginning or an end in the mind of God. When it was with God eternally, and the purpose of God will be carried out. So if we get into an intellectual discussion on predestination, as I'm using for an example, we'll lose every time, because the human mind cannot make the connections, because it's not connected to the human mind. It's connected to the Spirit of God, which existed before the foundation of the world, where the Lamb was slain in the mind of God. And then there was a book. What was the book representative of? The thoughts of God were put down on paper as the mind of God, and it carried out. I want you to see this. For your thoughts and your mind are two different things. That's why we have a battle going on inside of us. There's two spirits. Guess what? They'll be so close. How close are they? They're in you. And we are taking down the enemy by taking over the territory that Lucifer thought he won. But see, he doesn't know the thoughts of God. He's trying to manipulate the mind. He can't touch the thoughts of God, but God has released to you and I in the day we live in the ability. Christ is the mystery of God revealed in an all finish. Everybody knows these quotes, but they are so delicious. Especially when you begin to come down to the level where you're dying out to yourself, and then God's thoughts begin the new resource in you. Now, God's secret mystery he had before the world began. Back in the back part of God's mind, he was keeping it. He was not letting it released. It was in the conduit, but it wasn't released. It's like having a six shooter. And there's one bullet back there that you save for last. You got five. I'm out from out west, so you long gun guys only get one shot. Guys in the west have two six shooters. They don't have to be a good shot. They just have to pull the trigger. Just basically aim. Okay? He had before the world began. Now, back in the back part of God's mind, there was something, listen, that he was trying and was going to achieve. Now, what blew me away, Brother Wade, is when I read the word trying. God's trying? This is God we're talking about. He brought the whole universe into existence. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He knows everything. And he's going to try to do something? Of course he's going to do it. But I want you to understand something about God that I never realized until recently. He's going through the same battles that you and I are because he set it up that way. You see, he became us so we could become him. Now, when I say us, we're all thinking, this guy here? No. Let us make man in our image. He became us so we could become him. This thing right here is nothing but an old beat up car. I notice you got a new one, but you drive it long enough, it's going to break. 10-year warranty. I'm waiting until the batteries go out. I know it. But I want everybody to understand the example. Look at our bodies. Oh, you young people in here. I remember when I was 18, 19, 20. Look out. I lost a few fights, but I got into a lot of them. Because I was a smart aleck. Now, I want you to know I got saved from that.
Amen.
When somebody comes across, brother, with something, and they say, you know, I got saved from that. I don't do that anymore. Because I was from the world. I wasn't from the church. So I could, when I could spot a worldly spirit 1,000 miles away. Why? Because I got saved from that.
Yeah, right.
That's, I don't go there no more. Now, somebody that was raised in the church, you just hear my son Ronnie, he'll tell you all about it. He'll tell you. On the front pew, you know, dad's the pastor, and blah, 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 blah. And he found out one day by looking in the mirror, you scoundrel, you dirty dog. All this time you thought just because your dad was saved and preached the message and was a pastor of the church that you had it going on. Who was that down in there? Who is it inside of you? Brother said, that's not you. That comes from somewhere else. And that's what I'm preaching on. I'm preaching on the mind of God. But the mind of God is the conduit that God's thoughts channel through. Why do you think he brought the pillar of fire into existence? The pillar of fire is a conduit. How do I know that? Because when that pillar of fire shows up, occasionally an angel steps out of it. You know, he's 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. He's not smiling. Because he's serious. I don't think it's because he can't be happy. I think it's because God didn't make him that way. God made him to be serious. Did you know that there's a part of us that wants you and I to be so serious about God's word? I'm not talking about becoming some kind of religious nut. You know, some person that everybody goes, oh, there goes. I'm talking about a person that people go, there's a real Christian right there. I tell you what, I've ruffled that fella or that girl's feathers, and I made fun of her or him for doing this and that, and they just, I'm praying for you. See, that's now we're getting to the mind of Christ. Oh, no, we want exact revenge right away. God said, I'll take care of it. Didn't he? See, now we're putting on a different mind. We realize that there is going to be revenge, but God will take care of it. How is he going to take care of it? By presenting those people with the same opportunity that you were presented, and whether they accept it or reject it, that's why we never know who is and who's not. Now, you say, well, I've been working on this person for 40 years. Brother Branham, when he went beyond the curtain of time, met a lady who was over 90. Now, when she got there, she was 18, 19 years old, in the epitome of youth, and Brother Branham didn't even recognize her. Don't you recognize her? No, I don't recognize her. She was over 90 years old when she gave her heart to the Lord in one of your services.
Amen. Woo! Yeah. Amen.
So all that time, there was somebody else in there. It just took a time and a season and the right word and the right ministry to say, oh, guy's talking to me. Does he know me? Did you tell him about me? See, because automatically that's what we fall into.
Yep, we do.
Because we're trying to make a connection with the flesh when our connection is the soul.
Amen.
The problem with the fall is that Lucifer was allowed to interrupt the spirit.
Amen.
He won access to the mind. Notice I'm pointing at my head, but really my mind is a spirit. It's just that we're identifying it here, and the prophet of God did too. See, it's got to come into your intellect first, and then you make the decision by what's down in the heart, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you're thinking here and you're thinking here. Come on. Don't tell me that there's not a person in here that hasn't laid down in bed at night and an argument ensued. With yourself. I mean, it could be over anything. I just want you to understand that it seems like there's two of us. Now, in closing, I want you to see something. God set it up so that he would himself go through the same process, because he'd never ask us to do anything that he wouldn't do himself first. Watch now. You say, you're talking about God. This is the God I'm talking about. God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, creation, universe, galaxies. Then he made man. Rested. Things got awfully squirrely. They got so out of hand that his daughter allowed her intellect to interfere with God's thought. Now, God's thought didn't stay there. It didn't get contaminated. It did not get hybrid. It can't work through a contaminated pipe. Got to be clean and sanctified. Right. Just and that's what sanctification is. Don't you want God working through you? It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's you getting your spirit into a position where God says, okay, now go a little further.
Yep.
Do this, you know, suggestions, do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. You see, we got God all wrong.
Sure.
We think God's got a baseball bat. I noticed you had one in there, Brother Wade, but I won't bring it out. No, don't bring it out. We think God's got a baseball bat and he's just right there at the plate waiting.
No.
One thing and whack, that's the devil got us thinking that.
Right.
Anybody ever think about this? What is God? A spirit. That's Bible.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
How does God appear? A light. That's Bible. But who is God? God is love. See, that's the part you can't see. And you can't buy it. That's why the prophet of God said, go down to the drugstore and buy me a couple of, you know, a couple of quarters worth of love. I'd like to have it. You can't do it. It's the thoughts. That's what, that's who God is. He's love. He doesn't want anybody to fail. He doesn't want anybody to fall. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. We're making that decision. He made us free moral agents. He said, I've done this. What are you going to do? I've done this. What are you going to do? I've done this. What are you going to do? Well, if we're going to allow God to work through us, then we must let this mind, which was in Christ, be in us. I'm looking at the clock. There was something that he was trying and was going to achieve, and he had, listen now, a motive in doing it. Down a little further. So in his great mind, he wanted these attributes to be expressed, and in him was love. In him was to be Father. In him was to be Son. In him was to be a Savior. In him was to be a healer. And all these great attributes that we see already expressed, they were in God. Amen. Now, we all have heard this and we all know that. But without me turning to it, if you went to 1 John 5, verses 7 and 8, you'd see that the Father and the Word are one. He's a triune being, but it's not three people. It's not three separate gods. It's and I've said it so many times, but I feel led to say it again. I'm a Father, I'm a Son, and I'm me.
Yeah, right.
Brother Boyd? Brother?
Yes, sir.
I'm still one.
Yeah, right.
You take a knife and cut me in half, it's still me.
Yeah, right.
Body, spirit, and soul, still me.
Amen. Right.
Still you.
Brothers
and sisters, it shouldn't be hard for us. We're made in the image and after the likeness of God, so then God also is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
But guess what the really good part is? All that the Father was, he poured into the Son, so that makes them two-thirds of one. And all that the Son was, because the Father was always already in there, he poured into Christ.
Right, right.
Christ is the Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's available to you and me.
Amen.
All that God was is available to you and me. What was God? He was a spirit. See, I want to keep going over that. So you just think about it. We're trying to make an attachment. We're trying to figure out God by our intellect, by science, by education, by what we can see, taste, feel, smell, hear, by what we can reason, by our memory, by our affection. The connection is down in here.
Amen.
And if and as a man thinketh, so is he. If we don't think properly, so that he can come in past all that disruption and those gates that open and close and get plugged up.
Yep.
Our eyes, think about it. That's why I said, if your eye offends, you pluck it out. I don't think he literally wanted you to pluck out your eye. I think he wanted you to close it. He closed it to those things that draw you away. Well, you say, brother, I ain't got time. That's all we got. I realize it's a short amount of time in the day we live in, but it doesn't take, but listen careful, a twinkling of an eye. To change everything. A twinkling of an eye. That's the Bible. Let me finish. I'm going to go over to the next page, brothers. Let me put my glasses on. I don't know if the paragraphs will coincide with this old book. But paragraph 105 says, now God had a purpose and a hidden mystery. So there's two things, a purpose and a hidden mystery.
Amen.
And that's what I want to speak on to the church this morning, the hidden mystery of God that he had in his mind.
Amen.
Before the world ever began and how that it's unfolded itself right down to this present hour that we're living in. Okay? Paragraph 106, he kept it a secret. Nobody knowed nothing about it. Even the angels didn't understand. See, he didn't reveal it. That's the reason under our seventh mystery, when the seventh seal was opened, there was silence. Well, listen, what do you think? What do you think that means? Who's not thinking in the room? Well, the person that's sleeping back there, but they're dreaming. Listen. Who's not thinking in the room? Who's not using their mind? How loud is it? Because God is allowing you and I, by the opening of that seal, to get back into his thoughts. And I'll close with this. I could keep going, but I'm going to close. Listen. William Shakespeare, maybe the most well-known, greatest, most prolific playwright ever known. He must be. Everybody copies him.
Yeah.
But he wants to play the part of Romeo and Juliet or Othello or whoever it is.
Yeah. Right.
In all of the history that I've studied about William Shakespeare, I only looked it up for one reason now. He never, ever played one of the characters he wrote about. And all of his playwrights came from his thoughts, through his mind, out to the end of his hand, kind of like our Bible, and he began to write what he saw in his mind. Think about it. I mean, you young people, how about J.K. Rowling? Maybe that would be fast forward from Shakespeare. She never played one part. And she's not that, but something came out from her thoughts to her mind, and she began to put it all down.
Yeah.
I mean, where'd Harry Potter come from?
Yeah, right.
Now, if you really, can I say in the first seal in this act tonight? That's a quote. You understand? I got it up there, but. There's only one group of people on the planet outside of Jesus Christ that don't have to play someone else's part. Because if you were an actor and you wanted to know, let's say if you were a girl and you were going to play the part of Juliet, if you were a guy and you wanted to play the part of Romeo, there's only one place where you could really get the inside scoop on the character and what they really represented in his writings, and that was sit down with Shakespeare. Hey, William, listen, buddy, I'm going to play you, and I kind of want to, you know, I want to pull on you a little bit here.
Come on, bro.
Did you get that? I want to pull on you a little bit here.
Yeah.
That's part of the third pull. We're pulling on him. The believers are pulling on him. Why? Because they want to know exactly how to be who God wants them to be. So in order to do that, you'll have to get into the mind. And the mind is the passageway to the thoughts. I want to know him. You know why? Because then I'll find me. If you want to know him, you'll find you. And to me, that's what the message of the hour represents.
Right.
It's not a battle axe. It's not a toothpick.
No.
It's not something some guy said. Right. I don't believe William Branham was God any more than I believe you are. He was a representative of God, being used by God to portray what was in the original thoughts of God. And truthfully, Brother Branham was being used as the mind of God.
Sure,
But he realized that the mind of Christ was necessary in the hour we live in order to receive all of the thoughts of God without anything being held back.
Right.
That's why I'm reading this to you.
Right.
Okay? How long have I been up here? Would somebody please tell me? Terrence, you keep track. Tell me.
10 minutes.
No. 45?
Longer,
I guess. Okay. I understand. That's why I asked them, because I knew I'd get an answer just like I'd give. Brothers and sisters, there's so much more. I mean, I'm not the only person that God has called to try to do everything in his power to express it to you, but you have access. You have access to the same, but we have to put away our old selves. Listen, young people, you're dying. Don't tell me that. You're dying. I was young like you once, but you're dying. It's just going slower right now. The food you eat is rebuilding your cells to make you feel young and vibrant. But let me tell you something. You stick around here long enough. See, because I want it to be real. Don't waste your youth. That's my only regret. Is that God called me at about 21 and 3/4 years old. I wish he'd have called me at 2. Seriously. Why? Because the scar tissue is immense. Let me tell you the most powerful weapon that Lucifer's got is your memory. Because see, he called, when he got to Eve, he said, and God said, he was pulling on what she knew about what God said. But she didn't read enough. She didn't pray enough. She relied too much on her outer senses. And when he said, God has said, surely thou shalt. Man, there's some shouting going. It should be a Pentecostal meeting, but not. Can't accept that. Because in my memory, I remember that's not what God said. God said it this way. And Brother Branham told us, when those five gates work for the word of God, you got it going on. But as soon as one of those gates begins to work against God's word, stop right there. Let your free moral agency, let your self-will rise up and say, listen here, partner. Now you're talking to yourself. Listen here, you. You're not the real me. Boy, they'll think we're nuts. But look at the world. They think they're somebody else. I don't understand how anybody puts any credibility in Hollywood. Not one actor or actress. Why? Because they're playing somebody else. God's letting you and me have the opportunity to play ourselves. Please stand. Oh, I just love God's word. It's the best. It's the best. Here, let me cut to the chase. I'm going to read you two paragraphs while you're standing and stretching and the musicians are coming. Listen to this part now right here. He says, this, brothers, is paragraph 209. And then comes the revelation of the mystery. Remember, he had a purpose. One of them was a hidden mystery. Then comes the revelation of the mystery to reveal what it's all been about. Where these little doctrines like Luther brought, catechism and everything else, and Wesley brought this, that, and the other, and these other things, and then Pentecost brought organization just the same, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, baptism and things, not knowing any different, but then come, because then come back in the last days and pick up all these mysteries and clearly explain it, reveal it. Why? It's all the last days when this great mystery that God had in his heart. Now we're going from this part of God down to this part of God. How do I know that God has two parts? Because when the children of Israel got under his skin, he said, Moses, you get out of the way. I'm going to wipe them out. I'm going to start with you. Think about this as the God of love now. He was in a battle because he set it up that way. You read in your Bible, in the days of Noah, and it said it even grieved. It even grieved God that he made man. What? No. Oh, God is love. Have you ever read what the prophet said love is? Correction. Always, he says. Corrective. But it's not correction as let me get my big stick and beat on you for a little while. It's, listen, honey. You know, if you keep playing out in the middle of the street, you're going to get squashed. So I'm going to correct you and not let you play out in the middle of the street. Now, if you're going to be stubborn, it goes further. The paddle comes out. Restriction. Oh, I've said this 1,000 times. When my dad, he knew me, brother. I wanted a whipping 10 times over, and he whooped. Restriction. Go to your room. Stay in there for the weekend. This is prison. That's the way I felt about it. All the kids outside playing paper tag on their bicycle. I'm in my room. I would ask my dad, would you please come give me a whipping? He knew. See, I showed my weakness, see. Watch this. Last thought. Let's see, brothers. It's going to be on page 54. I got to have my glasses. I hate to use my glasses, but I got to have them. Paragraph 395. Look, what was once God's great secret, great mysterious secret in his mind, is now put in the hearts of the believer. But it wasn't put there to stay. It was put there because as you think in your heart, so are you. It was put in there so you could identify who you are because of where you came from. And once you know who you are because of where you came from, there's no problem with where you're going. If anybody asks you where I'm going soon. You got that? If anybody asks you where you're going soon. You're going up yonder. You're going up yonder. Well, you're going up yonder to be with your Lord. Going up yonder. You're going up yonder. Thank you, buddy. You're going up yonder to be with your Lord. Amen.
The real you.
That's
the real you. Man's never seen the real you. But God has. He saw you before the foundation of the world. So he knows who you are. He knows what you're doing here. It's like we were talking about placing. All that, the placing. It's not placing of Chris Long as a pastor and his... you know, his name is Chris Long, and he lives in Flagstaff, and he's got the church, and it's that guy inside. The soul. That's what God wants to place. Because before the foundation of the world, it was placed. Because remember, God don't change. God don't make a mistake. He didn't put you over here, and then all of a sudden, when you get down here, he goes, no, I'm going to put you over here. No, but what do we got to do? Like Brother Chris said, we got to get into that. Get into that channel. And let God take us to where we need to go. Boy, that was good. Let's sing a song before we dismiss. If you have a need, let's pray for Brother Chris and Sister Joanna. They're going to take off and heading up to Brother Jewel Forney's here in the morning. So let's sing.
All ye saints of Christ, proclaim Jesus.
Somewhere.
shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Hear the Savior's earnest call. Jesus, the light of the world. Shine all around us by day and by night.
Anybody else?
Jesus, the light of the world. Confess Him as your King. Jesus, the light of the world. Then the bells of heaven.
Being the light, you're the light.
That's right.
Be inside of you. You become the light of the world. The only God they're ever going to see is me and you.
That's right.
I know we fall short sometimes, but still, what He put us here for? He put us here to give Him that conduit through a fivefold ministry, laity, elders, deacons, song leader, musicians, people sitting in the pew.
Amen.
That's the conduit to run His thought through. The problem is, like Brother Chris said, we interject our own. And that's what the problem is. Brother Brown talked about the flues, you know, the interjection of the flues. So we got to get that out. Brother Chris. And I, Jesus, the light on the world.
Why not seek Him today?
Seek Him then today. Jesus, the light of the world. Go in truth the narrow way. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light.
Thank you, Lord.
Of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light.
Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Thank you, Lord. Yes, drops of mercy arise. Shine all around us by day. You know, there's many people being blinded by the light. The light of this gospel is good for some, but it blinds people. But Brother Chris, if you ever become the light, you can't be blinded by it. Because you are the light. You know, the blinding comes this way, right? If you're blinded, the light's shining in you. But what if the light's shining from you out? You can never be blinded, but you can blind other people's eyes. You shine that light. Let that light shine this week. And remember Friday going down to for Sister Frieda's memorial service and at 5:30. The announcement's back there in the back. So just God bless you. Love on the family. Love on her son. One only one that's left and of the whole family. So we sure miss Sister Frieda. Miss her a lot. And we appreciate the stand that she took. You know, 2 weeks before she passed, she was talking to us on the phone, and she says, this thing's going to go away. Well, guess what? It did. It did go away. She didn't carry none of that where she went. And none of it. Ain't no devil been in that dimension. Ain't no sickness been in that dimension. So when we bring that dimension here, guess what? Guess what? We're bringing perfection into perfection.
That's it.
This is not a fairy tale.
That's right.
This is not, like Brother Chris said, this is not Shakespeare making up something.
Right.
But it's God. He didn't make a mistake. When he thought of it, it happened.
That's right.
And that's what you and I got to do. We got to get ourselves into that and have the mind of God.
Yes, sir.
Sure do appreciate you again coming. Remember, Sunday we'll have one service. Brother Mike Hantus will be with us. And we will eat afterwards. Our Thanksgiving dinner. So just keep these all in prayer. We've got some, you know, some people out, some people still sick and sniffling and calls, but we know the great physician.
Right.
Yeah, we can call on him anytime. You don't get a voicemail. You call on him, he'll answer. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for this day you give us. Thank you for Brother Chris, Lord, pouring his heart out, Father. I believe he stepped into that part, Lord, to where you came through and spoke to us today, Lord, from that conduit that you spoke the words that you wanted all of us to hear, Lord. Now I pray, Lord, you said they would never return void, that they would accomplish everything that they said they would do, Father. Now we, as the believers and the bride of Jesus Christ, say, Lord, come and manifest that in all of our hearts and our lives, Lord. May we be you made manifest in another form called a bride. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one, be with Brother Dale and his leg, Lord, and different things, Lord. We pray that you'd touch his body, be with, Lord, the ones that are traveling, and now we got about everybody back. Lord, I thank you for safe traveling mercies for each one. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with us, Lord, and we'll have a good time, Lord, at the service there on Friday and then dedication of a house on Saturday and then back here on Sunday, Lord. We love you and we thank you for all things. Be with Brother Chris, Sister Joanne, Lord. And be with our family, Lord. Touch each one of them, Lord. I pray that you'll be with us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.